Hello everybody, this is AJ and I'd like to welcome you to AJ Side Panel. This is a little side project that I've been doing for a while for Forbidden Panel where I get to sit down with some interesting people, talk to them, and interview them and bring that discussion here to you. This week we were able to sit down with Christopher Leone and Laura Harkham of Monstrosity Inc., more well known for We Kill Monsters, a comic book being put out by Red 5 Comics. They also have written the short miniseries called The Lost Room for Sci-Fi. So yeah, we're gonna just sit back and relax and check out the interview. Hey everybody, this is AJ. I'm here with Chris and Laura of We Kill Monsters. Last time we talked to you guys was at San Diego Comic Con. If you don't mind giving us a refresher, talking about your comic and what it's about.
Alright, so We Kill Monsters is about two brothers in a small town who are mechanics who one night discover that actually monsters are starting to invade their town. And one brother gets bit on his arm and becomes essentially infected with monster DNA, and he wakes up the next morning and he's got this super strong monster arm, and as a result they need to kill more monsters in order to keep him alive.
He becomes like addicted to this monster DNA.
Yeah.
And so then in each issue we're introducing a new monster, and then we're also revealing a little bit of the mystery about where these monsters are coming from. And in the six-issue limited series, so in the finale, we're going to find out the answer to that question.
Cool. And how long have you guys been doing, putting this out?
The first issue came out in July, right? So it's been six issues monthly on from Red 5 Comics. And so the last one came out in December.
Cool. And how are you enjoying doing the story?
That's great. We love it.
You like it?
So much fun. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's nice. I mean, you know, it's nice to be able to kind of do kind of exactly what we want, you know, and we, you know, sort of have our own, you know, we're really happy with the artist that we picked, and, you know, so it's cool to be able to just, you know, write an issue, and you know, Brian Chiarella is like doing our pencils, and now, and inks for a lot of it, and, you know, it's like he draws it, and, you know, and it's, I don't know, it's a cool process.
How did you, one day decide that you guys wanted to do a comic, or were your approach to do it as a comic, or just write a story, or how did this all come about?
It actually started with the title. Chris had the idea for the title one day, and we just both thought it was hilarious, and we thought, well, what can we do with a story called We Kill Monsters, and we started talking about what it would be, and very, very initially thought of it as a TV show, because we had actually just finished writing a TV show called The Lost Room, and so we thought, oh, well, maybe this could be our next TV show, but then we realized that, you know, anything that we could imagine could be drawn, whereas in television, with budgets the way they are, especially now, anything we imagine might have to be, anything we could imagine might have to be very scaled back, you know, for TV, and might not be the show that we really want it to be.
Plus the production value would be a lot higher and stuff.
Right, so we thought, why don't we do this as a comic book, because then it can be exactly what we want it to be, it can be exactly our vision, as long as we find the right artist, which we did, you know, with Brian.
And how did that come about? Did you guys, like, do a search, an open search, or just put it out there and ask people to come test it out, or did you know who you wanted right away?
Well, no, we just started going to comic book shops and, like, looking at comic books, you know, and, like, trying to find, like, I mean, there's a lot of artists we like, but we were trying to find somebody, like, tonally for this book, like, kind of was a match, and Brian had put out this book called The Engineer, and it had, like, kind of big creatures in it, but it had this kind of cool style,
and a little bit of a sense of humor, which is, you know, something else, though, that our book has.
Right.
So we just kind of, like, we just really liked his style, and we asked him, like, hey, would you do a freelance book? And he was like, yeah, you know. So, yeah, so it's just kind of how it started.
Yeah, we got really lucky. We got really, really lucky with Brian.
So where did you take it? How did you get involved with Red 5 with the project?
Well, then, so what we did was we went to Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con in July of 2008, and met with a bunch of different publishers and pitched them the idea for the book. And Red 5, we met with Paul Enns at Red 5, and he just totally got it. He totally got what we were going for. He loved Brian's art, and so we decided to go with them.
So did you walk in with already test, like a zero issue or a pre-done issue, or just test drawings in the script?
No, we had actually, I think, 18 inked pages, inked and letter. They weren't colored yet, but... Or were they even letter?
They were not letter.
No, they weren't
letter.
Yeah,
we didn't have our letter yet.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, so it was just 18 ink pages. And we had a script, but like no one even read the script. Like we just kind of told them the story and just check it out. So, you know, it's a good kind of style test.
So, we discussed this previously, but you said that this is your first foray into comics, right? How's that transition going from TV and scripting to comic books going?
Well, for me, I grew up collecting comic books. I've read 10 million comic books, but, it's a little different to write one. I mean, I think the biggest weird thing is, like, every time you write a page, it's like trying to figure out, like, well, is this one big panel? Is this seven little panels? Like, that's a weird choice to make every time. And so it's like sort of getting the hang of pacing and, and of course it's a physical book and pacing, trying to get, the big reveals on the even pages and, just kind of basic things like that. But like I said, it made sense, but it's a little getting used to.
How does it work with both of you guys writing the book? Talk me through it.
Sure. Yeah, we came up with the story together, but Chris ended up writing the scripts for all of the books because I did not have as easy a transition from writing TV and film scripts to writing comic scripts, because in my mind it's much more, writing for comics is much more like directing, because you're calling each shot in like intimate detail in a comic book in a way that you don't do in film or TV writing, and so I couldn't really get my head around that. So we came up with a story together, and then Chris wrote all the scripts.
Nice. So, I can't think of any more questions right now. What can we expect in the upcoming, the issues right now are on number four, and 5 and 6 will be coming out soon, and the series is wrapping up, I'm guessing, within the next 2 months, right, by January, right?
December. I think, yeah.
December? So what can we expect in the next 2 issues?
We won't tell shit. You have to read. I don't know, it wraps up, I think, it wraps up in, like, one complete story, like 6 issues, so, you read all 6, it's done, but, like a lot of our ideas, we always like the idea of there being almost like ending with a new beginning in a way, so that, not just, I just like that as an ending, but, also for it, we did another 6-issue run sometime or something like that.
Oh, yeah, that was the next question. Will there be a sequel for this? Is there interest in a sequel?
I guess time will tell.
I think I would just add to what Chris said, you'll definitely find out where the monsters are coming from. We answer that question. But then we leave a little door open for, the story to continue.
Okay. So basically it's kind of like a cliffhanger-ish. Like, you'll wrap it up, but if we want more, we gotta wait.
Yeah, but it's not gonna end on a cliffhanger, man.
It has a definite end, but if we want more, it's kind of like a cliffhanger.
The door's wide open.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
There's still, we left some questions kind of unanswered just because it's, I always think it's better anyway. It's like, it's better not to answer everything, but I know that maybe it's frustrating sometimes, but I don't know, I think it's more interesting usually, Like I said, it's a complete satisfying ending. I think.
And do you find that, having written scripts and doing The Lost One before, I'm guessing that you guys had a pre-established fan base. Do you see that carrying over and then picking up new fans as well, or how is that working out?
Well, yeah, there's a...
Can we give a shout-out to our last year's fans? They're called the Collectors Forum, and yeah, they've been incredibly supportive of us and the comic.
Cool. Yeah, they were some of the first guys to actually run out and get it, and we're super cool.
And so now you have more of a building fan base going on. How's that working out for you guys? Like, I see you guys are doing a lot more signings, and like Golden Apple and Earth 2. Do you like the turnout? Is it exciting? Is it something new? Or?
Yeah, it's great. It's great when somebody who's actually not a fan of ours, not that we obviously welcome our fans from Lost Room, but it's great when somebody completely new, comes to us because they like the book, So, yeah.
And is it, for people that have watched the show, coming over to the comic book, do you see for them, like, you know, let's say they haven't read comics before, but you see that they're doing it now because of you guys, do you see their reaction as being a very positive one, or do you see a lot of it happening?
I don't know, that's like a subset of a subset, I don't know. Seems like anybody who probably watched our show probably has read comic books, but I don't know. I don't know, I think I've ran into anybody exactly like that.
Yeah, I guess we don't really have the data or the research
on
that, but...
It's 9 guys.
But we can say that we sent a lot of them signed issues of the comic, and they were super psyched about that. So my guess would be they are comic book readers.
Cool. So I'm presuming you guys are very happy with the turnout and how everything's going with it, right?
Yeah.
What can we expect from you guys next? Are you allowed to talk about it?
We have, I guess you can. We have something in the works that's cool, but I can't really.
It's not a done deal yet. But we will keep you. And we'll keep you updated.
Okay, well then other than what you can't talk about, what would you like to do next?
A show. basically this thing is like what we want to do next.
And more comics.
Yeah.
So you guys would definitely like to do more comics.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Well, I'm in love with it. It's actually just like it's much quicker to just go from A to B in a way of a comic book. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, we can write it. You know, we can hire our own artists. We can draw dirty. It's like we have it and out, you know,
right.
Rather than, you know, writing a movie script, which may or may not get sold, and then you still. What the odds of a movie 1 in 10 or something being made, you know what I mean?
Once it gets sold,
right,
the chances of it
sold.
Being made.
And then if it's any good.
Right,
yeah,
that way it doesn't get totally screwed up in production.
Yeah, so in some ways it's just such a nice, like, direct way to, like, tell a story. You just do a cool project and it's like, okay, people actually read it, you know?
Right.
I like that about it.
Now with the Lost Room, how much filming input did you guys have? Any creative?
We produced it.
So. Yeah, you produced it, so you were able to say almost like in a director feel where like you say, well, I don't like that, but that may be in, or you had a lot of influence over the filming of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was a 3.5 month shoot, and we were on set for the whole 3.5 months, and then also supervised the post.
So you had your hand in almost all of it.
Yeah.
Except for the acting.
Yeah, exactly.
Would you have liked to have been in the acting?
No.
No.
I'm waiting on that one. Well, thanks for taking time out. Did you guys want anything else you wanted to say before we went?
Thanks. Thank you for taking the time, and thanks to Forbidden Panel for, supporting.
He's red in the face. I have no problem. And so the website is WeekoMonsters.com, and we can expect the next 2 issues, 5 in November and 6 in December.
That's right. Yep.
And can we expect a trade paperback or anything coming out after that?
Yeah, we hope in the probably in the first or second quarter of next year.
Awesome, cool.
But don't wait for the trade. Go get it.
Okay, now, well, how are you guys enjoying the success of the comic?
It's fun to get into this other part of the industry that, you know, we didn't, other than being fans, that we, you know, were involved in a professional or creative way before. So that's been really cool. It's been cool to meet other comic artists and other writers and be on panels with them or, you know.
Have you both, you said you grew up on comics, right?
Yeah.
Did you grow up on comics as well?
I actually didn't. I was a huge, I'm like a Batman fanatic, so there was...
It's a weird that a girl grew up not in the comics, but yeah.
I know. I've never, ever heard of that. Never.
Well, the Batman thing was that my poor mom thought there was something wrong with me because I was obsessed with Batman.
And was it the comic you were obsessed with or Adam West?
It was, first it was the TV show, but then the comic, and then, you know, like when I was a kid, I liked Batman Underoos instead of Wonder Woman genders. So I guess I can see why my mom was a little concerned. But then when I worked as a studio executive before Chris and I teamed up to start writing, and I worked at Warner Brothers and I was in charge of the DC Comics projects. So I got a kind of crash course in comics from the DC folks, like Paul Levitz and Jeanette Kahn at the time was running DC. So
we blame you for all the bad DC movies they put out.
She developed.
So it's your fault. All right, now we know, guys.
So that was kind of my comic education.
And you?
Well, I grew up obsessed, so I had, I still have a huge collection at my parents' house, basically. I never shipped out to California, but no, I'm saying, I think the weird thing about putting in our own comic books is like, it's pretty surreal to like bag your own comics,
Right.
So it's like, it's like you put the bag, you have the comic book in the bag and the backing board, and then you tape it up, and like all of a sudden you're like 12 years old again.
Right.
And then it's actually, it was weird with the first issue, right? But then, now we have four of them out, and I have this box full of, I can scroll through, and there's issue one, there's issue two, there's issue three, there's issue four, and it's cool, but it's this weird geeked out thing,
Right, especially seeing your own name on it.
Yeah, well, it's just it's my thing,
right.
I made that up.
Right, yeah, it's cool.
As writers, it's got to be weird to see anything that you write down be visually created, especially in film and comics as well. So, how are you guys, the adaptations that are coming out about it? How are the visuals that you write being translated into picture or film? Are they pretty much what you think about, or?
Our artists have just made everything better. I mean, not that we didn't think our scripts were good, but, they've taken it to a new level.
But there's a lot of times, it's just not, there's sometimes they come up with things where you go, whoa, it's not what I was thinking, but that's cool. Or Ryan says, maybe we can cut this panel here or add a panel, and it's great. And then there's sometimes where I think, no, it's all wrong, I'm sure I drive them crazy, but there's some things I get very specific obsessions about,
right.
And then other things I'm easy,
And then the cover for issue four, right, Rhonda's, our colorist, Rhonda Pattinson, she did a color scheme that we never would have dreamed of, and it was such a shock to us, but we loved it. So, they'll just come up with things sometimes that wouldn't have even occurred to us.
Right.
But, they're fantastic.
I know, as reading books when I grew up, you read a Stephen King book, and then you see the movie, no, that's not what I pictured at all. But then, once I started writing a comic book and seeing my artist draw it up, I'm like, oh, wow, I didn't even think about that dimple that he should have there until he adds to his character or something, Which leads me to another question. What are you guys reading now? Are you guys reading comics now, and what is it that you're reading?
I'm reading, someone just gave me all the Ultimates, the Ultimate Avengers, basically, which, I grew up with the Avengers, was, my favorite comic book.
Right.
As a kid, Captain America were, my favorite books, and, so someone said, they reinvented the Avengers, so I was like, what? Because I don't read that many superhero comic books anymore. But I love those, and I was, I heard they were going to make an Avengers movie, I was like, can you make an Avengers movie?
Right.
It's not just, and then I read those, I was like, okay, now I get it, They're cool.
Queen and Country. I love Greg Rucka, and I'm just about to pick up Stumptown, his new book.
Nice. I haven't read Queen and Country.
It's a crime. I don't know if anybody else has made this comparison, but to me it seems like the TV show The Wire. It's the comic version of that, because it's a really, really sophisticated, layered kind of crime story.
Is it as in-depth as The Wire? I got lost in The Wire real easy.
It's
not lost, but I felt like I was part of it. I had to get into it.
Yeah, it's super. Queen and Country, when you just open the book, there's a cast of characters at the beginning, and there's 40 people. and you're how can there be 40 people in this book? But then it works. It's all these different levels of government agents, government kind of secret agents working in conjunction with each other to solve international crimes.
One last thing before we wrap up. Where are you guys heading to next? Maybe signings or anything? Do you have anything coming up?
Oh, we might do one more it'll be in Los Angeles and the stores to be announced.
Okay, so like Golden Apple or Meltdown or something like that?
Yeah.
One of those.
Sounds like.
Yeah.
Check your website and we'll find out, right?
Exactly.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys.
Thank you.
So there you have it, everybody. That was a interview with the Monstrosity Incorporated, the group behind We Kill Monsters, Christopher Leone, as well as Laura Harkham. I'll have to apologize for this seriously atrocious background noise. We're sitting in a coffee shop in downtown LA, and the minute you bring out a microphone out there, everybody and their mother has to get all involved and start speaking themselves. So, again, I apologize for it. And if you want an official transcript of it so you can read the interview in more depth, then please feel free to email me, aj@forbiddenpanel.com. So, again, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to thank Chris and Laura for giving me a chance to interview them. And stay tuned, because I'm sure we'll have a lot more updates from them. Thanks a lot, guys, and make sure you check out forbiddenpanel.com to read all the latest updates and listen to the panel cast. Good night.